the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the Earth's 24 time zones covered by this program, which is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. It's Friday night, Saturday morning. And we're doing open lines all night long. Tell you what I'm going to do tonight. This will apply to all lines because I gave up ever trying to put it on one line. Anybody who would like to report an entity attack, we did this several weeks ago, and I just can't tell you how much response I've had to it in terms of emails that I've been getting and people that I've been talking to that have performed exorcisms. And then, of course, there was the other evening with the man and the baby and the building and all of that. Oh, my God. So I thought, and maybe we better cast another line or two on the subject into the water and see what we get. So instead of having a special line, I'm just going to have sort of a special subject. Anybody out there wishing to report an entity attack would very much like to hear about it. Really freaky stuff. But then again, so is what's going on all around us in the world right now. Pakistan's president vowed on Friday to hunt down every one of Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl's kidnappers and to treat terrorism with an iron hand. He's being criticized heavily for allowing Pearl to be killed, and so he's going to use the iron hand. A neighbor of a seven-year-old girl abducted from her bedroom, a seven-year-old girl, 3 weeks ago, was arrested Friday after her blood was found on his clothing and in his motorhome, police said. David Westfield, 49, taken into custody for investigation of kidnapping and the disappearance of Danielle Van Damme, who vanished in the middle of the night and remains missing. DNA tests are confirming it was blood of the seven-year-old girl. The GAO, get this, sued Vice President Dick Cheney on Friday in unprecedented legal action, seeking lists of executives from Enron and other energy companies who met last year with the president's energy task force. The White House, which has resisted the congressional demand, said that it would defend our principles. You know, that sounds, if you're old enough, that sounds an awful lot like what President Nixon began to say about, you know, not turning over things I wanted from him. Lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court marked the first time in the congressional agency's 81-year history that it had resorted to going to a federal judge to get documents from the president or the vice president. Nixon's case finally, of course, became the Supreme Court. The Archdiocese of Boston late Friday said that it had relieved yet another priest of his duties because of an allegation that he sexually abused a minor more than 20 years ago. The Reverend D. George Spagnolia of St. Patrick Parish in Lowell, about 25 miles north of Boston, has been removed from all assignments. Well, it's shaking a little bit, or more than a little bit, folks. A moderate quake has shook San Diego. An earthquake centered in the desert just south of the Mexican border shook San Diego pretty well today, scaring people from Imperial County to downtown San Diego. USGS puts the quake at anywhere between a magnitude 5.2 and 5.4. That's pretty good. Followed within minutes by 8 aftershocks, ranging 3.1 to 3.9. The quake shook merchandise off store shelves in Calexico, sent people running from buildings in El Centro. High-rise office workers throughout downtown San Diego reported the quake caused buildings to sway back and forth. No reports of any significant damage or injuries, but we are approaching a really big earthquake window, folks, as the regular listener would be well aware. This is kind of an interesting, slippery slope, worrisome kind of story I'm about to read you. It's from abcnews.com. If you want to look it up yourself, Reuters, a British couple whose son is seriously ill with a rare genetic disorder were on Friday given the go-ahead to use fertility treatment to create a test tube sibling whose blood could cure him. Opponents were quick to condemn the ruling on ethical grounds, but authorities denied it could open the floodgate to designer babies. Shahana and Raj Hajimi from Leeds, Northern England, had asked the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority to back treatment designed to ensure their next child would be a genetic match for their son, Zane, who suffers from a rare blood disorder. The agency gave the go-ahead for the procedure known as pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. That's an interesting one. Pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. It marks the first time that fertility treatment regulators allow the use of in vitro fertilization to pick an embryo, which is a close genetic match, for a sibling in order to treat him. Zane suffers from the genetic blood disorder talismania, and none of his four siblings are the right match for him. Blood from the umbilical cord of his perfect match brother or sister would be used to try to cure the three-year-old. Oof. Critics of this are saying things like, one very disturbing aspect of this procedure is that human life is being created as a means to an end, not as an end in itself. Now, you really need to think about that a little bit. I saw a recent episode of something or another on TV that had this exact same story. Of course, it was NYPD Blue or Law and Order. I've been watching a lot of those lately, but it was almost exactly this story, with the additional pressure that the lady was going to have to decide allow the pregnancy to continue because the child was that needed getting very sick. And in fact, it, in the end, never made it, died. But, you know, they were going to cause a very early delivery to get what was needed. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing here, really. Short of that, perhaps, hopefully. But here, you're creating life as a means to an end, not as an end unto itself. And it's going to be, so the world, I'm telling you, the world is really getting strange out there, folks. Okay, the following from Science Daily. One of the odd possibilities that could emerge from global warming. See, when is this dated? The 22nd, February 22nd. One of the odd possibilities that could emerge from global warming is that much of Europe, listen to this now, very carefully, robbed of the ocean current patterns that help keep it warm, could rather abruptly enter a deep freeze and have a climate that more closely resembles Alaska than the modest temperatures it now enjoys. Well, my God, where have we heard this before? Researchers from Oregon State University explored this potential phenomena and the fluctuations in thermocline circulation that could trigger it in an analysis to be published Thursday in Nature. Oh, my, up to the prestigious Nature now, folks, a professional journal. It's by no means certain that climatic changes of this magnitude and speed will come to pass, they say, but even the reasonable possibility that they might are now a cause for serious concern. This is going in Nature. To answer difficult questions such as this, we depend a lot on our computer models, and in this area, different models reach different conclusions. That's Peter Clark, a professor at geosciences and one of the world's leading experts on glaciers and prehistoric climate changes. What is fairly clear is that if the ocean circulation patterns, which now warm much of the North Atlantic, were either to slow or stop, the consequences could be quite severe, said Clark. This might also happen much quicker than many people appreciate. At some point, the question becomes, how much risk do we want to take? And I'm only reading you part of this, but this is going in the journal Nature, folks. So, you know, at one moment, it's in somebody's book, like, say, the global superstorm, and then it's muchly criticized, and then, golly, would you look at it? Then all of a sudden the scientists are making statements, all sorts of government agencies are making statements, and now, tonight, you've got an article in the journal Nature. Isn't that coincidental? Here we go. Somebody mentioned this last night, and here it is. I've got it. This is also from Reuters. The last 3 months were the warmest on U.S. record books, and January was the balmiest in 123 years for the period that months have been recorded globally. Now, I'm beginning to see a little bit of a cycle here, too. How many times over the last couple of years have I been reading to you stories saying the last 3 months are the warmest on U.S. record, according to NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration? They keep track of this kind of thing. And the last 3 months, once again, fell straight into the record books. So I'm beginning to see a pattern here as well. More in a moment. Somebody sent this to me, and I'm a cat lover. I'm a sucker for cats, and so is my wife, and so I thought this was kind of cute. There are many dangers lurking in our homes that we, as humans, know little or nothing about. Our cats are our only true protection against these many hidden dangers, and they are ever vigilant. There are almost always constant patrol to save our very species. Ask, what do cats do for us? What are these dangerous creatures that our feline friends are protecting us against, you ask? Well, I have a wee short list of a few, but one never knows just what our cats will see as a danger to our species. All I can say is to trust in your cat to protect you from these dangers. At first, I discovered my cats were protecting me when, late one evening, I returned from dining out. I returned to a horrible sight of destruction and carnage. Soon became apparent to me that my cats had put down a rebellion from the toilet paper while I was away. There were bits of paper strewn all through my humble home. There were also four very satisfied and exhausted kitty cats that were recovering on my bed. It was just then that I began to piece together what had truly occurred, apparently. The toilet paper had plotted to destroy all of my possessions while I was out for the evening. Because it was an overturned basket in my bathroom that I know never could be blamed on my feline acrobats. They would never be so uncoordinated as to knock over something that was decorating my home. I knew then that it must have begun with the toilet paper. My cats, on hearing the toilet paper's movements, the beginning of their revolutionary actions, were quick to put down the rebellion. The paper had apparently resisted, and so they had to shred it to ensure that it would not rise again. I was alerted to yet another threat to the safety of my home when I discovered that in the night, after all, rebellions always start in the night, don't they? That several of my socks were missing or had incriminating teeth marks on them. I had a theory about those socks. I began to research my sock theory and discovered that socks are alive and prone to disappearing. It's a little-known fact that socks were created to destroy all living things. Cats were put on Earth to stop this from happening. It is a known fact that socks wiped out all of the dinosaurs. Think about it. You never see dinosaur remains with socks on, do you? Dinosaurs were perfectly happy with their existence when suddenly in the middle of the night, the socks arose and wiped out the entire species. Socks need darkness to do their dirty work. That's why they sometimes become lost in the washing machine. When you shut the lid, the socks awaken in the darkness and attempt to escape. They send scouts out into the sewer system to check for alligators, while the rest wait behind for word of the situation. Unfortunately, the wash cycle's too short for them to escape before you open the lid and let the light in. Fortunately, the dryer lint trap is too small for them to escape through, although some have been known to commit suicide by reverting to their original lint form. The very blankets on our beds are also dangerous. One night, I entered my bedroom, only discovered that my well-made bed was in a state of total disarray. All of the covers were on the floor at the bottom of the bed. Even the fitted sheet was halfway off the bed, and two of the cats were sleeping comfortably under the conquered sheet. I felt so much safer sleeping in my bed after I remade it, of course, knowing that the rebellious bed clothing had been tamed. However, my Siamese cat felt the need to sleep under the covers just in case. It has been rumored that paper towels, sweaters, and occasionally undergarments have also risen in revolt, only to be put down by our beloved kitty cats. This has not been substantiated in my home as of yet. I know my cats are ever on the alert to danger because they often accompany me to the bathroom to inspect the paper. And they always watch it go down the drain to make sure it's really gone. I, for one, am grateful for my feline SWAT team. And I hope that may continue to patrol my home for any hidden dangers for many, many years to come. All of that is absolutely true of cats. God, that was funny. To return in the middle of the night only to find a giant battle which your now tired, stretched out, sleeping felines had won on your behalf. All right, folks, open lines on the way all night long. That would be me. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. Friday night, Saturday morning, weekend is upon us. And you are welcome to join in. Open lines, anything you want to talk about, fair game, always on Fridays. But I am leaning toward those of you out there who claim to have been attacked by an entity, either a severe psychic or perhaps even a physical attack by some sort of entity. That in mind, anything is fair game throughout the night. Stay right where you are. All right, into the night we plunge for who knows what. By the way, they're still looking that mysterious rash. That very mysterious rash that now has hundreds of youngsters in its grip in now seven states has yet to be identified. They have no idea what it is. Red itchy rash appears to have to be at this point more of an annoyance than any sort of serious health threat, but they have no idea what it is. And in this day and age where we face a lot of things we don't understand or nor expect, you want to watch this kind of thing very, very carefully, because they have no idea what it is or what it could mean down the road. Maybe something, maybe nothing. Just a lot of new things seem to be turning up. Start here on the wild card line. You're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
You asked about entities and being attacked by them. You want to hear from us, so.
That's true. I'm just simply amazed there's so much of it out there. That's one of the reasons I asked. Father Malachi Martin had told me this kind of thing was on the increase. My guest the other night spiked my interest again, and I'm getting a million emails. So I guess there's a lot of this kind of thing going on. What's your story?
Well, I was on a bus to South Carolina. actually to Georgia so that I could get to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on an empty Greyhound bus, pretty much empty, and I was stretched out across the aisle, across two seats, and I was asleep, just a light sleep. And I remember I dreamt that I woke up and that across the seat from me were sitting two, maybe 16-year-old girls. One, and they were like crouched on the seat with their feet on the seat,
yes,
kind of perched. One was in the seat directly across from me where my legs were lying.
Perched. And the other, that's an interesting word, perched.
And the other one was behind her in the seat behind her. And there was a man in the seat behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching the girl to the row back. Both had black hair and black eyes. And the one in the back row was younger than the one that was across from me.
Yes.
And the one in the seat in the row back was looking at the man behind me. And I looked back at him, and he was staring at her, and he was unbuttoning his shirt. And she was doing things, how do I put this? She was acting seductively.
Yes.
You know, touching her body and this, that, and the other.
I think I get the picture.
Okay, and I looked across to the one at me, and she sat on my legs, and then as soon as she touched my body, you know, with her rear, you know, she sat on me.
Yes.
On my legs, and as soon as she touched my body, she jumped up in the air, spun around, and it disappeared in my chest. And at that very moment, I woke up.
Disappeared into your chest?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Disappeared into your chest?
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right. All right.
Okay.
So now you've got this 16-year-old girl inside of you, huh?
Well, I don't think it was really a 16-year-old girl. But it she jumped up, spun around.
Yeah.
So her back was toward me, and fell into my chest.
Really?
And at that very moment, I woke up. It was in the same position, you know, in the dream. I was in the same position that I was in when I woke up. I woke up, I stood up, and had one of the most pleasurable feelings I've ever had in my life.
Right.
I've been trying to call you about this.
All right, well, you now have. That is some story, sir. As you know, young teenage girls give off an incredible amount of psychic energy. We've learned that in program after program from expert after expert, associated with poltergeist activity and all kinds of things. But that was a new one. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Art.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
Mike from Cleveland.
Cleveland,
doing
all right.
Doing fine.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to talk about global warming.
Global warming, yes.
It's a half-truth, because I went through the 50s. The same age as me, I'm going to be 52 this year.
Yeah.
And it's snowing outside now. I don't understand it, Art. What's wrong with this planet?
Well, what's wrong is, sir, that we keep having the warmest 3 months in all the record keeping for all the years that we've ever kept records of temperatures, sir.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it keeps going like that, it's going to be really wrong. And it's going to do things like stop the current that keeps Europe temperate. And Europe is going to have the climate of Alaska. What exactly will occur here, I don't know. But obviously, we are in the middle of a big change. I mean, we really are. You just have to admit that these mainstream journals now are beginning to get stories that we treated as science fiction here about 2 years ago. It just so happens the exact scenarios. Let me tell you something that's actually worrying me a little bit, all right? It is so coincidental, the actual news we're getting today in the mainstream press about what's going on with the weather and with global warming. No matter what you want to blame it on, I don't care. I don't care what you want to blame it on, humans, a natural change, whatever turns your crank, you know, and I know that's a political view, and so you'll take one side or the other. And I really don't care, because the fact of the matter is, it's happening. What worries me is that these are the exact things that we drew as scenarios some years ago, Whitley and myself, in Global Superstorm, prior to that, the Quickening, and these were just scenarios that we drew out, which to all the world seemed science fiction then, and now they're reality, no question. They're reality. The little worry in the back of my mind is that we may have set something in motion by our own thinking. That's one of those things that you can't rule out. It's really one of those things you can't rule out, particularly after the experiments that have been run on this program. Nor can you, of course, rule it in. It could have simply been on the way, and it could have been perhaps a precognitive moment, or, you know, you could put it off to a million different things. But you can't rule it out. You cannot rule out the mass thinking as a possibility of a triggering mechanism. Something to worry about. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Okay, sir.
Thank you very much for taking my call. This is what I believe to have been a case of a remarkably strong psychic vampire, and I've had a couple experiences with him. This is the most extraordinary one. About 3 years ago, my wife and I were having a romantic dinner together in a rather nice restaurant here in Los Angeles, California.
Right.
And about 5 minutes after we had sat down at the table, this frankly gorgeous woman, this platinum blonde hair, tall, she was dressed in like black with some silver jewelry, walks in past our table, but then she stops and she stared directly at my wife and at myself and kind of gave me like a flirtatious look, which of course angered my wife.
Oh, in other words, you didn't take that moment to say well, hello there. Would you like to meet my maid?
Well, not at the time. I was still falling in love with my wife. But
yeah.
She walked behind us into the second partition of the restaurant and, you know, presumably sat down in a booth close by. And after it was about maybe 15 minutes later when our entrees had arrived that I felt this this tremendous force, like life force, being pulled away from behind me.
Right.
And it wasn't just my experience, because right away, my wife, Elizabeth, had remarked how white and pale I had become, and I had literally slouched down onto the front of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a physical force that I could feel being pulled away, like maybe drawn away from my aura, from especially my crown and around the shoulders and my heart. And this went on for pretty much the duration of our dinner. It stopped about a minute before this woman had come back and was walking out. And as before she left the front gateway to the restaurant, she turned around. And by this time, my wife and I had both become curious and wondered, you know, maybe it was her. Because, you know, we've both actually been attracted to, you know, spiritual phenomena, and we kind of notice these things. We have a knack for it. As we looked at her, she turned around and gave us a extremely knowing look and kind of arched an eyebrow and waltzed out the door.
Oh, maybe in her own way. I mean, everybody was there eating, right?
Well, actually,
isn't that what you said?
There
was a restaurant.
People there.
Yeah, but it was a restaurant, right?
Right, right.
Everybody was there eating. So maybe it was sort of like the after look, you know, like she was thanking you for the meal.
Well, yeah. Actually, that's kind of what I thought about.
Yeah, exactly.
And basically, I believe they exist. I think that it's kind of a gift that maybe they expand upon. I think it's an easy matter to draw life force away from living beings. I've had a couple other experiences, but that by far was the most the strongest one.
That'll do. And all I can do is sort of picture her with a satisfied cigarette, sort of after her meal, sort of looking at them saying, thanks, that was great. You know, obviously they munched down on some kind of food, and she psychically munched down on them. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bellis. It's Frank from Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, yes.
Yes, sir.
On yet another technological wonder cell phone.
Oh, God, you do know. I didn't think you would.
Oh, sure, I can tell.
All righty. But I'm a truck driver, and I was running up to Albany, Georgia about 3 years ago.
Yes, sir.
In a cab over. That's a truck that doesn't have the nose on it.
Right.
And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a four-lane road going into Albany. I was going about 60. No other cars on the road at all. And I saw this thing dot across the road at me. It must have been going about 60 miles an hour, and I had to literally stand up in my seat and look to my head to the window, and this thing was not human. It was...
Well, now, let me understand. You said in front of you. Do you mean that it just kind of cut across the road in front of you?
Right. As I was coming down the highway, it just darted out like it wanted me to see it.
60 miles an hour, huh?
I was going about 60. It must be going 60 or more.
Yeah.
Right in front of that truck. I literally had to stand up out of the seat because I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Well, all right. How much of it could you make out?
Quite a bit. This thing was about 6-7 feet in length. It was on all fours.
Right.
It had no tail.
No tail.
And it looked like... It looked like a human. The muscle structure was phenomenal, and it looked almost human, but not human, with a lot of hair. It was not a tiger or anything like it.
How many hours had you been on the road?
Well, I know you were going to say that. Quite a bit, but I wasn't delusional. It really did happen.
Okay, so
you're
really, really sure of what you saw.
Art, I have never forgotten it. It was 3 years ago. I've never seen anything like it again. I hope I never do.
Huh.
And to confirm this a little more, a month or so later, maybe 20-something miles from that area, because I would constantly go up there and pick up loads,
yeah,
running another road in the backwoods, I heard a couple truckers yelling on the CB, "Did you see that?" And the other driver said, "I don't believe what I saw, but yeah, I saw it."
Huh.
And then I lost the wave with them. I came up. I saw what looked like a werewolf, but it was a dog type.
A werewolf? And that's what you're thinking you saw was a werewolf?
The second time. The first time was more like you see in these horror movies.
Yes.
Was what I know I saw. The second one looked more like a dog werewolf.
You swear all this on your trucker's license, right?
Yes, I do. CDLA, yes, sir. I just had to tell you this.
I'm appreciative. Thank you. Thank you very much. And,
thank you, Ron. It was an honor talking to you.
Take care. All right, well, there you are. Something moving at 60 miles an hour, no tail, appearing human with a giant muscle structure. What would that sound like to you? You think werewolves are real? More and more people do. And they think, and a lot of people think these, whatever they are, obviously slip in from some other dimension. Which is certainly absolutely plausible that these things would come from another dimension, whatever they are. And then occasionally just slip out again. What was it they were called the other night? Elementals. Elementals. The very lowest form in another dimension. Elementals. Kind of like that name. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, turn your radio off, please.
Turn the radio
That's
off.
Always number one. Turn your radio off and then tell me from whence you call.
Yes, sir.
Where are you?
We're in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, okay. It's a good start. What's your first name?
Dustin.
Dustin, all right. What's on your mind?
I totally saw something just the other evening out the road from my house here.
Yes.
That really, really, really freaked me out.
What was it?
It was actually like a smaller lady that was crossing the road whenever we're snowing here, right?
Right.
Whenever she was crossing the road... Which it really, really freaked me out because, you know, normally you don't see, you know, too many people out and about. And especially, you know, at that point in the evening, it was probably around like 11:30, somewhere around there in the evening.
Yes.
And whenever she came across, she started to, when she looked up at me, she didn't look too normal. Whenever she looked up at me, I normally hit the brakes, you know, right there.
You mean
and,
she was, like, directly in front of your car?
Yeah, pretty much directly right in front of my car.
All right, so obviously you hit the brakes.
I'd say about 20 yards or so.
Yeah, so you hit the brakes, obviously.
Oh, yes, definitely. And she started to, like, I don't know, just go into this crazy shaking motion. And, I don't know. I would almost blame it, like, I don't know.
When you say,
there's something in my mind.
Hold it, slow down. When you say shaking, define that. What do you mean by shaking? You mean really fast, back and forth?
Yeah, just like I don't know how to describe it. Like started moving backwards, and like the visage of her actually started to go into like a glitch. I don't know.
No, I've heard this story before. You wouldn't believe where, but. Continue. What happened?
I'd come to a complete stop, and I sat there for like a few seconds, what seemed like a longer period of time, and watched her go back and looking. I actually broke contact with her to actually like look at my mirrors.
Yes.
To see if there were any other cars or anything around.
Of course.
And there was no one around. Whenever I looked back, she wasn't there.
Disappeared.
Yeah, disappeared completely. But I don't know. Just like the most frightening visage of an older woman is what it seemed to be than I'd ever seen.
And it was a very rapid shaking that began as she moved backwards?
Yeah, just like, I don't know. Like
almost like a vibration?
Like a vibration, yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. It reminds me a little bit of that incident in the state of Washington. Do you remember the description by Jonathan Reed, Dr. Jonathan Reed, of the alien? Do you remember the description of the alien when it was encountering the dog? Somehow or another, when he began to describe what he had seen, it sounded an awful lot like that to me. And then, of course, that poor dog literally turned inside out on itself as this shaking, this vibration, very rapid back and forth vibration continued. It's kind of like the caller just described, huh? Anyway, great to have you on board. This is Friday night, Saturday morning, into the weekend with Coast to Coast AM, open lines all the way. I'm Art Bell. Stay right where you are. Good morning, open lines, leaning toward entity attacks for the night, but breaking news now has anthrax maybe in Atlantis. Civilian workers at a U.S. Army Reserve Command headquarters found a bag containing white powder on Friday. Initial tests, and they are only initial right now, but they do indicate anthrax again. You know that mysterious rash? I'm beginning to get fast blasts from people saying they're reading stories saying now it's beginning to affect adults as well. Interesting. Interesting, interesting. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning. Hello? Going once. Going twice. Gone like the wind. Wild card line, you're on the air. Oh, maybe not. Hello there. Hello there. Somebody is there somehow. Uh-oh. Wonder what's going on with my telephone system. I can hear somebody there. Is there somebody there? Going once, going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello.
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 I guess I'm off the line again.
No, you're on the line. You know what? I got a feeling this guy can't hear me. Can you hear me? He can't hear me. Uh-oh. Now, let me think. What could be causing this? Obviously, my callers cannot hear me. And interestingly, I see something that is not lighting up that should be lighting up. I see a unit down here that is not lighting up the way it's supposed to, indicating it's probably not working. This is not good. This would mean I couldn't take phone calls. This is really bad. Now, tell you what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to make a modification as you listen. pull an equipment rack out here. And I'm going to actually see if there's something askew with this unit that for some reason is not allowing calls to come in. That's very bad news. You know, when you do a talk show, you really have to be able to talk to your callers or you don't have a talk show. Now, that was an interesting sound. I will try putting this back together again. There we go. Put the rack back in place. This is the advantage of being your own engineer to some degree. Now, this is no guarantee whatsoever that it is fixed, of course. But at least I gave it a good jog. Looks like all the lines have discombobulated. Well, let me try and answer one, see what happens. Wildcard line, you're on the air, maybe. Hello there. Hello there. Are you there? Oh, this is a bummer. Yeah, see, the person's on the other end of the line. They just can't hear a word I'm saying. Let's see here. What else could it be? Obviously, we're not getting any audio from my voice down the line. No audio whatsoever. Normally, I should be seeing a nice little light, which would be, let's try a couple of things and check these buttons, see if they're all in order. And we can try answering again. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello there. Are you there?
Oh, see, they've got the radio on. Hello, can you hear me? You can't hear me, can you? No, you can't hear me. I can hear them, but they can't hear me. This is just not going to work. I have no idea what is causing what's going on right now. All I can try doing is, actually, there's nothing I can do. How can you do a talk show without someone to talk to? Impossible. All right, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to probably prepare up there at the network to roll a tape very quickly, and then we're going to try and fix whatever it is that's causing this massive dysfunction. The law of unintended consequences, folks. That's what it is. Nothing changed. I mean, this, like, happened just, boom, it just happened. So, not knowing what the situation is, however, knowing clearly I cannot get anybody on the air, what we're going to do is roll tape for a few minutes, and I'm going to try and get this fixed. Assuming I can get it working again, I will be back shortly. I will now begin to kick things harder than I would kick them for you here on the air. So if you're prepared at the network, please, at this time, roll tape, folks. Very carefully, everybody. Now, in Germany and South America, which will attempt...
No, won't attempt, Art.
...to communicate with the other side.
Yeah, it'll do it. It was in the vision. It'll do it.
Do you, the toughest things with visions, with remote viewing, with prophecy of the scallion kind, with Ed and Dave, all of them, it's timelines. That's the toughest part of it. Not that it's going to happen, but when will it happen? Seems to be the toughest of all.
Well, because we have so much free will and we have movement and we are really powerful, we collectively as a consciousness, you know, but the spiritual beings that we all are down here. We have power. We can affect things and change and shift things. But, you know, mine is watching. It's been pretty tight, Art. You know, I missed them. But it was only my ability to interpret it in 1975, because it only happened once.
Is there any way that you know of, Danian, to get information on the progress being made in Germany or South America or wherever somebody's working on something?
Oh, yeah, I talked to them. I went out.
What do you know?
It'll be in the next year. It will be completely possible. The device that Casey talked about and you know, Tesla talked about it. What's happened to me, or you know all this, but for those who are listening, I'm a very curious person after three near-death experiences, and I look for ways that will help people better achieve the fact that they should not be afraid of dying,
because I'm not afraid of it, and I've been through every phase of it. And once you have that place, you can see how to care about the people around you and how you do your great spiritual work, but you can also have freedom to not penalize and torture yourself over things that you think you've done that's so evil, but you really didn't do as bad as you thought.
Yeah, I had Professor John Mack on last night. And,
he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's
John
a great
well.
Guy. And he said, you know, after these experiences, one thing that we psychiatrists have thoroughly noted is that people absolutely lose their fear of dying. And I think I brought up your name, and he cited you as a prime example.
Well, because John knows me. You know what? Everybody, well, you laugh, Art. People know I stand for what I stand for, and no matter how crazy I appear to be, I'm very methodical about achieving this. I have before me, right in front of me, a grant proposal, an RFA grant proposal, Art, to the National Institute for Health for a two-year project and a budget of $200,000 to take the centers that I wrote about in my books and what they told me to do, that I have a grant proposal in front of me now to go to the National Institute for Health in combination with the Veterans Administration to fund and finance the study of the centers with Larry Dossey as the lead prime researcher and Beverly Rubick and a couple of other, and the ex-head of the National Institute for Health, Wayne Jonas, on a board of review of this study.
Wow.
I mean, here it is. Here's all 260 pages filled out and ready. So
I know you're pursuing exactly what you were told to pursue.
Yeah.
I remember one day being with you, Dan, in a quiet moment. We were talking about some of your IRS difficulties. And one of the funniest things I think I ever heard you say was, you know, you said, well, what the hell are they going to do to me?
Kill me?
I mean, kill me? I'll tell the IRS I welcome death.
Yeah, but I'm not. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, that's right. It takes a lot of fear away, doesn't it?
But you don't be afraid.
Yeah.
I try to get across to people, everybody out there, what's so cool about listening to Art Bell? If he gives you information, and my part in this is, I'm 50 years old. This is 25 years of this, and I write about it in books that were 6 years ago. This next book, The Final Light Book, took me 4 years.
And that's what... Finally found a what appears to have been a loose connection, and I have re-soldered it. Boy, that's it. Get out the dikes, get out the soldering iron, and fix it on the fly. Maybe. We're about to test that theory. Anyway, we are back live again after a quick solder job, and... See, one great advantage of being your own engineer, and let's give it a try. First-time caller line, you're on the air, probably, maybe.
I hope so.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Oh, that's in that case, we've got it made.
I'm the reason your phones were messed up. But that's a different story. That's not what I called you about tonight.
Well, you're going to have to start there anyway. What do you mean you're the reason?
Well, I've been trying to get through to you for a while on this one topic. And I know I have psychic abilities I was born with. I don't like them. I ignore them. And tonight I finally thought, okay, take and visualize.
Well, this conversation is not going to get off on a very good footing here if you claim to have screwed up my phones.
Well, I didn't mean to.
Well,
I visualized a connection to you, and I forgot that your satellite relay to me is on a cell phone, and I visualized a connection through AT&T on a ground line. And when I heard on your radio line that you were messed up, then I switched my visualization to a satellite relay, and your phone cleared up.
So you're also claiming to be the cure, huh?
Well, no, but I undid what I did. It's like kind of when you mess up your computer inadvertently, and then you undo it without realizing what you did.
Only a very nasty woman would do something.
No, honey, I'm not nasty. It was inadvertent. I don't like psychic ability. I'm not very good at it. I have not trained myself in it.
I know, but you disrupted an entire national program, for God's sakes.
Art, please don't yell at me. Art, please don't yell at me. Can we talk about the UFOs I used to see from a Lockheed installation?
We could speak of that.
I would love to.
Go ahead.
I used to live above Santa Cruz City in the San Lorenzo Valley.
Yes.
And across from my house, directly across the canyon, Steep River Canyon, was a lock. They claimed to make the triggers for Trident missiles. And I would lay in my bed at night. I worked in a restaurant and got off work about 10 and go home. I would lay in my bed. I had a sliding glass door like you have in your back porch with a view straight across to the rooftop. And I used to watch vehicles fly through the sky 3 to 5 a night, going straight up, straight down, sideways, backwards, faster than any airplane or helicopter I've ever seen, moving like UFOs. And I've seen UFOs, and I know how they move.
Did you cause one of them to crash?
No, honey, I'm not like that.
Well,
that's
right.
Very funny, and I accept your humor. No.
You have to understand.
I've told people about this, and they told us I was nuts. I understand. I've told people about this. I said I used to sit there and lay there in bed and look out my picture window, my sliding glass door window, and watch these lights flying over what was supposed to be a Trident trigger manufacturing plant.
Well, normally you would imagine the government would get really, really, really upset about that.
They told everyone they were manufacturing triggers for the Trident missile, and I think they did that to get the hippies to protest the triggers for the nuclear missiles so that nobody would know what they were doing. They were rebuilding UFOs that they had blueprints from. Now, I was going online. I looked up Colonel Corso.
Yeah, oh, yes.
I believe him.
Oh, well, thank you. I absolutely believed Colonel Corso as well. Now, there was a remarkable man for whom nobody has any explanation. Nobody shoots any big holes in what the colonel said. What the colonel said stands. He is now, of course, passed away, as you probably know. But fortunately, he wrote a book about what he did before he passed. And I've never heard any challenge to any of that which he claimed. Not a shred. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, that
would be... Yeah, you kind of dropped out there a second. I thought the phones were going bad again.
Uh-huh.
Before I get to my entity story, I just wanted to mention real quick, you probably got a lot of, with this subject matter, you probably got a lot of Bible believers listening. I just wanted to throw this out there for them.
I have a lot of Bible believers listening every night, sir.
Okay, well, just for their benefit, God told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth. That means to refill the earth. So Adam and Eve could not have possibly been the very first people on the planet because that word would have been an improper usage right there. You know, God would have said, just go out there and fill up the earth. He wouldn't say to replenish.
To replenish, that implies there
were people before.
There were people. Oh, boy, is that astute of you, sir. Very interesting.
So, yeah.
Very, very interesting.
So throw that out there for the people, then they won't all be convinced that Adam and Eve were the very first people on the planet.
Oh, that's incredible. To replenish. Are you sure it's...
Yeah, read it. That's what it says.
It says replenish.
It says replenish. You can't replenish something that wasn't plentished to begin with.
That wasn't plentished. That's all right. Point well taken, sir. Proceed.
Okay, yeah, the entity story. I had an entity actually impersonate one of my doctors.
Really?
Yeah, I was in the hospital. I had surgery on my leg. And after the surgery, I was in my hospital room, and I had, like, a huge splint on my leg to, like, immobilize it. I guess I wouldn't bend it and open up the stitches.
Mm-hmm.
And so my doctor came in the room, and I was talking to him, and it was real brief. And I said, well, doc, you know, what do I have to do with this leg? I mean, can I walk on it? Do I need to walk on crutches? I mean, what's the deal with the splint? And he said, oh, no, you could get up and walk on it. It's not a problem. And I said, oh, really? Okay, great. Well, he left, and a little while later, I had to go to the bathroom, and the nurse came in, and she was saying, well, you know, let's take care of this. And I said, no, the doctor was just here. You know, he said, it's okay, get up and go to the bathroom if you have to. So she said, well, okay, fine, if the doctor said it. So I got up, and I kind of hobbled over, and she kind of helped me, and I went in there, and I did my thing, and I came out, walking on this splinted leg, got back in bed, And I don't know, like a half hour, 45 minutes later, the doctor came into the room again. And I said, I told him what happened. He said, I wasn't here. He said, I haven't talked to you at all today.
Same exact guy, right?
Yeah, same exact guy.
All right.
And, you know, either he came in and basically did a malpractice thing, or something came into the room and said, yeah, get up and walk around on the thing, no problem. And then he comes in afterwards and says, I haven't.
You know what I would wonder?
Hmm.
I would wonder if perhaps that's exactly what he was thinking, and he projected himself into that room.
Well, I don't know, but when they took the splint off, I could see where the stitches try to open up. Like this thing, whatever it was, wanted me to get up and walk around on it to bust the stitches open to mess me up, but it didn't quite work out.
Well, you know, yes, but all of us have, you know, the good us and the bad us, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe that doctor didn't really like you much, and he projected his evil twin to go into the room to get you up on your legs to burst those suckers wide open.
No, this was
bleed
a
out.
This was a plastic surgeon. He took very high pride in his work. And
No, that was the good plastic surgeon. But you see, maybe he had like an evil twin in his own mind that he projected into your room. You following me?
Right, right. Well, I would be interested to hear other people who have had these impersonation type things, because nobody ever mentions that.
To me, it sounds like a projection, sir.
Well, it could be.
I really appreciate the call. Thank you. That's what it sounds like. His evil twin went in the room and said, hey, no problem. Get up, walk around. Do a few jumping jacks. Let's open those babies up and see the red flow. I'm Art Bell.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak.
And I guess it's fixed.
Trying to get myself ashore.
So now you can call safely, and I'll be there.
For so long.
By the way, I do not exonerate that lady. I do not. Why not? Let me tell you. For those of you who understand the technical aspect of this, I'll tell you. What happened was, a wire on what's called an XLR connector going to the Gentner unit, which is the send audio, my audio that goes to the caller. When I wiggled it, obviously that wire had come loose, so I whipped the connector open, tack-soldered it, and put it back together, and now we're back on the air here. How likely is it that a wire which I can't get anywhere near or touch chooses that very moment to disconnect itself, to become a cold solder joint, or to actually break off? Not very damn likely, I would say. So, I do not exonerate that lady at all. Now, back into the night. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Art. This is John in South Carolina.
Hello, John. How are you?
I was disconnected on your first-time caller line when you had the trouble. Does that mean I can't use it now?
No. The trouble eclipses all else. You're
okay.
Perfectly. What, you are a first-time caller?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Go right ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to mention about Caprice, our Siamese cat here, when we first got her. She, that sock thing, she actually ate the whole sock.
Excuse me?
She ate the whole sock.
Your cat ate an entire sock?
I was never so impressed in all my life.
How can I ask about this?
We had to help her out to get it back out.
Oh, so you...
It was a long string when we got it. But...
Was it like... Oh, my God, it was a string?
Yeah, well, she had
it must have come out forever.
Yeah, and I hadn't noticed her doing it yet.
Oh, this poor cat. Whose sock was it?
It was mine.
Oh, what size foot do you have?
Oh, about 8.5.
Oh, jeez. Was this a little cat?
She wasn't quite full grown, her size, but...
Can you imagine the work it would take for a cat to down a sock?
Well, you know, I think that's what did it for me. I always thought I was a dog person, but I love this Siamese of mine.
Well, obviously your sock had evil intentions, and your cat...
Yeah.
Boy, talk
care
about throwing its feline body in front of yours on a grenade there. And holy mackerel, sir. All right, thank you.
Oh, hold it. I'm not done.
No?
I don't know if this classifies as an entity thing, but it involves the cat. My daughter's a dancer, and she was over in our studio, and her dance teacher used to come and visit her and watch her dance.
Yes.
Well, we were sitting in there, and of course, her teacher at this time, he had passed away, and we really missed him. And we noticed Prissy Cat walked over there to the spot he used to stand and watched my daughter's feet for the entire dance. And then after that, just came back up, sat in my lap, and that was the end of it.
Hmm.
Never done it again.
Was she wearing socks?
Nope.
All right, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, you mentioned several weeks ago this thing about what was it, a 10th planet or a brown star intersecting Earth's orbit?
Oh, well, that was Mark Hazelwood. And, you know, for those who are in doubt about that, you're welcome to be in doubt about it if you want to. Fact of the matter is, though, that there's an ABC News story indicating that may be out there. That planet, that whatever it is, may be out there. That's abcnews.com if you want to read about it. And they're speculating it's either a 10th planet, which they are now declining yet, according to ABC, to name, or it may be a sun. Astronomers may have found hints of, listen to this, a massive, distant, still unseen object at the edge of the solar system, perhaps a 10th planet, perhaps a failed companion star. My God, doesn't that sound familiar? That appears to be shoving comets toward the inner solar system from an orbit 3 trillion miles away. Two teams of scientists, one in England, one at University of Louisiana at Lafayette, independently report this conclusion based on the highly elliptical orbits of so-called long-period comets that originate from an icy cloud of debris far, far beyond Pluto. The University of Louisiana physicist Daniel Whitmer said, "We were driven to this by rejecting everything else we could think of." So before you reject the idea of a 10th planet, a as yet unidentified planet, or perhaps a sun that's dead, which is exactly what they were saying, now you might want to check in with abcnews.com. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Baloney, Bell. Baloney about your big star out there on the other side of the galaxy. Now, first of all,
how do you know it's not there?
I have insider information, but that's not what I'm calling to talk about. I'm going to set you straight on the reasons why your phones went down, Mr. Bell. It's because you put me on hold again, treating me like a second-rate nobody, as if I wasn't the one bringing forth the new revelation and the salvation.
There are those who think of you as a second-rate nobody, J.C.
Well,
and
you know, coming from coming from the pathetic stream of losers and ingrates and demonic forces that are paraded across your pathetic show every night, that holds no weight to me, Mr.
But you're
Bell.
Compelled to listen, aren't you,
I
J.C.?
Am not
oh, yes, you are compelled to listen. In fact, you
Bell,
dial your little fingers raw trying to get in, don't you?
Mr. Bell, you listen to me, and you listen good, because I'm going to tell you one more time.
Probably
someone's
got to
keep tabs on you and pray against you and work against you, just like I work against the pornographers of this world.
You can't do that without listening, though, can you, J.C.? To work properly against me,
yeah.
You've got to listen. You've got to hear every single...
That's right. I hear everything you do every night.
There you are. I knew it.
That song that you start up with every night, the one where the guy, it's the ringing endorsement of bisexual fornication.
What song is that?
The one where the guy prances out and says, "I'm going to get straight and come go open up your gate." What do you think that means?
I don't know.
I'm going to open your gate.
What do you think it means?
What do you
think it means?
I think it's an ode to some kind of winky homosexual who's going to go have sex with Greek goddesses. That's disgusting. How can you
well,
play
wait,
it?
Wait a minute. Greek goddesses, they'd be all right.
The cult
be,
of Phaedra.
The Greek
the
goddesses
one,
would
the
be
cult
women.
Of Phaedra, the one, the pornographers,
they would be
the
women.
Porno stars.
They'd be women.
They're in the cult of Phaedra.
No. Those Greek goddesses.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight.
That's the song. That's the one you're talking about, right?
It's yes,
well, what would be wrong?
talking about having sex
in
your gate.
Did you say Johnny Cash?
That's Johnny Cash.
Is that Johnny Cash? You know that as sure as you know you're sitting there, right, JC?
I can tell every voice of the devil. I know every voice of the devil. Just
you
like
can
the
identify them. You just
hear
a word or two, and you know who they are. Boom, just like it's a devil, Johnny Cash.
Listen, Mr. Bell. You rebuke my message. You don't
JC,
understand
I do indeed
information I have from on high. And listen to me.
You know, it's Lee Hazelwood, JC.
Who?
Lee Hazelwood.
I have never heard that name before.
Well, see, there you are.
Whatever alias he wants to use, that's fine. He can't hide. He can't hide from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Bell. You are going around on your airways saying there is a great lie.
What makes you think what makes you think you're bringing the word of the Lord? Huh?
When I have direct communications, it's hard to argue with God.
How direct?
I have to make a point here.
JC, how direct?
Direct communication. What part of direct don't you understand?
The part that has not been defined as vocal? Does it come from the middle of your head, JC? Is there a burning bush? What?
In a booming voice.
A booming voice.
See him upon his golden throne with his white beard flowing and his robes. And he says,
well, I sure hope you can identify the Lord better than you can identify Lee Hazelwood.
Who?
Never
who's
mind,
Lisa
JC.
Hazelwood? I don't
Never
know
mind.
Who Lisa Hazelwood is.
Obviously you don't.
Mr. Bell, you listen to me. I am going to make a point. Now, you listen.
That'll be new.
Listen.
Yes?
You are perpetrating that there is a lie being perpetrated to the masses. Is that right?
Well, then a lie.
That there's a lie as far as spirituality and our descendants, and that we really come from apes and monkeys and crawled out of the ocean and slithered up here and there. You said there's a great lie. That
some of us more likely than others, JC.
6,000 years. Yeah. That 6,000 years. You know, in order for there to be a lie, there's got to be a truth, right?
Are you a hairy guy?
No. Listen to me. Do you agree that in order for there to be a lie, there has to be a truth?
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay. Uh-huh. Who is the father of truth?
Who's the father of truth?
God!
God is the father of truth.
God is the father of truth, that's right.
Then why does he allow so damn many lies?
Wait a minute. And who is the father of lies? Who is the father of lies?
Well, answer me. It could be the same Lord.
No, what?
It could
the
be.
The same Lord.
But if he allows these lies to be told.
No.
Yes.
Listen to me. You are trying to trip me up, and I am not going to be tripped up by the likes of the devil mouthpiece. Master Satan is the father of lies.
All right, fine. So he's the father of lies.
So there is a book. There's truth. A book of truth that is solid truth, on high, brought down from the Lord's words straight to mankind. Now, do you call the word of God, do you call God a liar?
No. All I said was that he allows lies to be told.
So then why do you allow people to call up your program and say, oh, there were people before Adam and Eve?
Because there may have been. JC, what about this replenishment thing? You heard the caller earlier. What about it? Explain it. You're the man with the word.
I don't want to talk about the products.
Let's talk about replenishment.
Yeah,
replenishment. Why did the Lord say,
why
did the Lord tell Adam and Eve to replenish unless there had been replenishment prior?
This comes from people who don't know how to interpret the Lord.
Doesn't know. Only JC can do that.
Morons who don't know how.
Morons?
Don't have the spiritual adaptation.
You see, JC, I let people say whatever they want to say on my program, and that includes, heaven help us, even you.
Listen, I have a right to say what I'm saying. The parade of moronic, imbecilic people on your program every night is pathetic.
Is it?
You're back to Bigfoot already the other night. Please, Mr. Bell.
Well, what's your take on Bigfoot, JC, since we've got you here?
If there is a Bigfoot, it's of the devil.
Of the devil.
That's right.
How do you know that? How do you know that Bigfoot is not a caring, loving, intelligent, thinking, isolated beastie?
Oh, And isn't that always the words they use to describe the poor Satan cast down so unfairly? Poor Satan.
Then why do we hear stories of Bigfoot families together loving each other, caring for each other, and caring for their young?
Have you ever heard of the Adams family? They were a family of Satan worshippers, too.
The Adams family.
And they seem to get along pretty well. Just a little misunderstood. Human sacrifice here and there.
Yeah, that's it. I can't do it. The Adams family stopped me. There are limits. The Adams family. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
How are you? After that.
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. All right. KFI, of course.
Wait, I'd like to share a story with you about a teenage experience when
yes.
I was living up in Maine.
Please.
Actually, I was living up in Maine, and I was in bed one night, and I was awakened by a force. And this force, it really scared me, Art. It really scared me. It shook me. But it was like a shaking feeling, like it. I felt like I was being electrocuted, basically. And when I tried to yell for my parents in the other room, like nothing would come out of my voice. I was so scared. And I just hid under the covers for a while, and you know what I mean, just scared. And
you know, I kind of wonder if the covers are actually a protective force. They might be.
You know what, it was weird, Art, but this force followed me out to California, too. And, you know, it happened. I also had a waterbed, also. But this force, the same bed was, you know, a couple times I moved out here. And
maybe it came in the bed.
Well, I'm actually tapping on other beds as well. Well, another bed after that. But this bed came out to California with me, and the force followed me. I don't know what the force was.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it came in the bed.
I think Maine was an eerie place anyway. Maine has a lot of, you know, satanic worship and places. You know, just a lot of weird people up there.
Maybe
you
left the water in that bed too long.
Yeah. But no, honestly, you came out here, right? And what was weird about the force was eventually I could feel it coming on. Like, one time when I was laying in bed at my grandma's, I could hear, like, Alice Cooper, Billion Dollar Baby's song in slow motion. And then I could feel, like, I go, uh-oh, here it comes. And it came. You know, it was almost like I could feel it coming on. But do you have any explanations for forces, like, that shake people? I mean, it wasn't a good thing. It scared me. It was more evil than good, I think.
No,
I
sir,
I am
bereft of explanations for anything like that, believe me. All I know is that I've opened lines for stories of this kind, and they're coming in nonstop. So something is going on in the world. What Father Malachi Martin said about the exponential increase in evil obviously is true and is continuing. It'll be interesting to see where it goes, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I just wanted to share that with you, Art, because it was real. Definitely.
I understand.
And it did scare me, and it happened numerous times, and I haven't felt it lately, but it was some weird force out there. I just wanted to share that with you.
Appreciate the call, sir.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm. Wild Card Line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, how's it going, Art?
It's going.
I don't think I could top that JC guy. I mean, if ignorance was an alley, that guy'd be the Santa Monica Freeway.
Well, you know, I try and be fair with JC, but I mean, when he got to the Adams family, that was the ripper.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll get to the real reason why I called here.
If you wonder about JC, why would he watch the Adams family? Anyway, go ahead.
That makes you wonder. Anyway, I've been in conversation, or discussion, with some people on a forum. And a topic came up concerning demonic possession and the possibility of such possession being able to exhibit itself in symptoms like lycanthropy.
Like what?
Lycanthropy.
What is that?
Lycanthropy. It's a psychological term for werewolf.
Oh. You know, I could swear that earlier a trucker called and described what sounded very, very much like a werewolf.
I didn't catch that, but someone brought it to my attention on the Fantastic Four.
Said he was on four, down on all fours, sort of human-looking, big-muscled, but on all fours and doing at least 60 miles an hour.
Hmm.
I don't know what you call that.
I don't think of myself as an expert on demonic possession or even mental illness, but I do believe that a mental illness can make anybody think that they have the power to turn into a werewolf. There haven't been any actual cases.
Well, the only problem with all that, sir, is that there are actual sightings out there. And sure, there are those who may delude themselves to the degree that they believe they're werewolves. That doesn't mean there aren't werewolves. That just means there are deluded people. And maybe things that we don't know about moving real fast out there. From High Desert, I'm Art Bell. All right, here we go. Into the night, once again. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. Where are you?
I'm in Georgia. Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia, okay.
Yeah. I had an interesting story about waterbeds. I kind of have a theory. We just bought a new one. The old one had high EMF output, it said. They told us when we bought the new one because they have
Hold it, slow down.
High EMF.
Electromagnetic field?
Yes, and I'm very sensitive.
And what was this EMF coming from, the heater?
Yes, underneath the body of the, or the bladder of the water. Inside the mattress.
Oh, my.
So imagine this body of water underneath this high EMF field.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of, I don't know if it created more of a polarity or an area of increased EMF, or, but that bed I could not sleep in, personally.
Really?
No. My husband had to get a new bed when we got married.
Really?
We got a new heater, which is EMF low. They promised this to us. It's got a special thing, a blocker. But I could stand beside that old bed, and he would touch me, and my whole skin was vibrating.
I kid you not.
It was the most bizarre thing.
Here's something else to think about. Water in a waterbed. You leave water in there for a long time, right? Occasionally you take the air out of it, but then you leave it in there for a whole long time. And if you've got a radiating electronic field of some sort producing EMF within the bed itself, then God knows what might grow in there.
Well, actually, the God only knows.
That's right.
I don't even think God would know, honestly.
It may be like the soup that man first is said to have called.
The primordial ooze.
That's right, yes.
Well, whatever it was, it didn't agree with me at all.
Well,
and now that we have the new bed, it works just fine.
If a cat can swallow an entire sock to be pulled out one thread at a time, God, what an awful image, then I just think what could come out of the cap of a waterbed.
Well, you know, we drain it very often, once a year at least.
Yes. Well, that's just as well. That's a very interesting story. I've never heard that before. That there was a high EMF amount of radiation from a waterbed heater. Oh, that's kind of weird. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
There are many, many different ways to do exorcisms. Last night you were asking what would a Buddhist do. Buddhists usually use incense and sound vibrations from Tibetan bowls or gongs.
Well, my point was really that exorcisms are not just common to Christianity. In other words, exorcisms of apparent necessity are performed all over the world by those of just about every faith, every major faith you could name.
Absolutely. Even the Hawaiians used a tea leaf and aspersed the person with seawater.
So, well, there you are. So, you see, folks, you've really got to imagine that this is not just something that Christians contend with, this exorcism business, this infestation by... Generally, I was talking to a psychiatrist earlier. She actually might be a very interesting guest. She was an exorcist earlier this evening. I was speaking with her, and she said about three-quarters of those things that are exorcised from people, you would have to consider unfriendly, or if you want to put the evil label on them, you could do that. But about 75%. Now, the other 25% are also very interesting, though they are not evil. They are affecting your life, your destiny. They are affecting the decisions you make and the things you do, even if they are not evil per se. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
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 Yes, sir.
Oh, no, I was on.
You are. Turn your radio off, please.
I will. On now.
Turn your radio off, because we can't talk until you
thank
do.
You. How's that?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I'm surprised to be on. Yeah, when I was, this is Dennis from Oakville, Ontario, Canada.
Yes, sir.
And I listened to you on 640 Mojo.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. So, I got a Shadow People story for you. When I was about 18, it happened twice, as a matter of fact. I was sleeping late at night, and something woke me up. I had a pressure in my neck, and first I thought it was just a muscle spasm.
Yeah.
And I tried to move.
There's no question about the fact that you woke up, though.
Yeah, no, it woke me up all right.
Okay.
It was very hot and burning in my neck. And I tried to move, but I found that I couldn't. And I wanted to reach up and put my hand to my neck, but I couldn't move my hands either, or my feet.
Uh-huh.
So I was starting to sweat. And my brother was sleeping in the room with me. And he sleeps in the other bed. But I tried to call him to wake him up, say, you know, something wrong here. But I couldn't speak. All I could do was open my mouth and just, and nothing came out. And the more I tried to force this, the harder it got to move.
Boy, is that scary.
Yeah. So I relaxed. And as I relaxed, it let go. Whatever it was, let go. The burning went away from my neck. And I looked over to the door, and there was a shadow. Looked like a human figure shadow standing in the doorway.
Right.
And then it just blended right back in to the shadows in the hallway. And scary to say the least, but I said to myself, I said, if this ever happens again, I'm going to find out what it is.
You know what you got to wonder, sir?
What?
If you hadn't managed to relax yourself in the face of such a great fright, you might not be talking to me right now, and you've got to wonder how many people in the situation you were in wake up dead. In other words, they're just DOAs in the morning, you follow me?
Yeah.
A lot of people die in their so-called sleep.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It did happen about 2 weeks later, and as I felt it coming on, I was fast asleep again, and I felt the same pressure come, and I just said in my mind as loud as I could, I said, I'm going to find out what you are. And it instantly left. I saw the same shadow figure disappearing back into the wall.
Yep, there you are. I tell you, I think that you're on to the way to deal with this thing. I really do. And the fact that it got startled when you recognized it for what it was, that's something, you know, my other listeners might make note of. Now, it's easy to talk about and harder to do in the face of, you know, stark, terrifying fear.
Yeah.
But... Well, that might you might have the answer to it.
Yeah. Actually, got a couple of good listeners up here. We wanted to know how Ian Pundit was doing.
I think Ian's doing just spiffy. He's got his own morning show, is my understanding.
Really?
I think that's what he announced, isn't it, when he left? That he was going to go do a morning show, I believe, at KSTB in St. Paul, Minneapolis.
St. Paul, Minneapolis. Wow. Yeah. One more question. We were discussing nuclear detonation. I know that's kind of like a scary issue in these days of the terrorist attack. But a few years ago, I read a book that said it was impossible to arbitrarily detonate a nuclear weapon. And it was from a book called A Bridge to Infinity by Bruce Cathy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Well, I don't know what you mean by arbitrarily. It's certainly not easy to detonate a nuclear weapon unless you... I mean, there's a million different protective devices, but,
yep.
but you understand how they work, right?
Yeah.
Basically,
yep.
explosives push the weapons-grade material together very quickly. That's the basic of it, and when it smashes together, then you get the big boom.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Kathy was a physicist, and I know you've had physicists on as guests. And
indeed,
you
yes.
pose that question to them, that it requires a very specific geometric spatial relationship.
Absolutely.
Between the sun and the earth.
That theory.
If that window's not there,
that theory.
It can't go off.
Well, you know, the only way you could prove that, and you know how you could prove it? You could look back at the dates of all the above ground The above atmosphere and the below ground nuclear tests that have been done successfully.
Right.
And either prove or disprove that theory.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
How about it? I appreciate the call. Thank you. I understand the theory, and I've heard it before, that only when a certain relationship is there will a nuclear weapon detonate. Of course, you wouldn't want to personally test that theory at all. I'm still stuck on J.C. watching the Addams Family. Now, that just, you know, that really disappoints me. Why would J.C. watch the Addams Family? I mean, in his spare time, in his recreational J.C. time, to spend time watching the Addams Family. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
J.C. needs his own Bible thumping program. You said something which brought up, you said you thought that a lot of people ought to know, it had to do with he said that he thought this thing away. You remember? Just got through with it?
Yes, sir. The thing that was sort of strangling his throat or whatever it was doing to him, yes.
Well, I had a friend and she had a light that show up in her bedroom and it would show up almost every night and just be off in a corner.
Uh-huh.
I just told her, I said, tell it, some nights say to it, you don't belong here anymore. This is not your place. Please go away. It went away.
Well, there you are. Same thing. So maybe that's the way to handle these things. And maybe when they get that attitude, instead of abject fear, which they apparently feed on, then they split.
This is Dan from the chemtrail capital, I think, Phoenix.
Well, don't be so sure you're the capital. You're one of the cities, to be sure.
Boy, I'll tell you, they did a Circle 8 one day over there. You know, we got beautiful blue skies here, and yet they're up there. Anyway, my little story is I was just about 3 years ago, and I was in Massachusetts, and I get up about 6 o'clock in the morning. I took a walk in the woods, and it was a rather desolate area. And I came to what I saw, this old farmhouse. And as I approach the farmhouse, I see these footprints in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking down at them, and the footprints spotted toward the farmhouse. Now, it was a light 3-inch snow, and this is an area that nobody else should be around. You know, nobody was, no tracks anywhere. So I'm saying, what did somebody do? Back out of the farmhouse, make the prints, and then go back into the farmhouse? You know, I'm trying to figure. So I went alongside the footprints, went around the farmhouse, come back the other side, went in it, searched the whole farmhouse.
These are human footprints with a shoe?
Yeah, it was like an old lady's, overshoe.
Oh,
you know,
oh,
kind of,
okay.
You could tell it wasn't a man's.
Right, okay.
And that's all there was to it. And I said, gee, I'd like to get a photo of this. Well, who the hell would, you know, you can't really photo something like that. I'd like to get somebody to see this, you know. But I couldn't do that either because I couldn't find anybody that early in the morning. But that convinced me, that boy, something's walking around, you know. I don't know what you would make of it, but...
Well, it's pretty odd. I mean, it's pretty isolated, and I wouldn't know what to make of that. If you just took a picture of it, all you'd have is a picture of footprints.
Well, yeah. But the thing I was thinking of is that it's either an energy that has not left the planet and keeps going through the same thing. I don't know what you call them.
We call them tape loop ghosts, and if that's actually what you're referring to. And that is an entity or a life force or whatever that may not be the consciousness of a deceased person, but rather the spiritual remains of them, the sort of deep echo of them that just simply keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I'm listening to you on XM.
And you're obviously in a truck there somewhere.
No, I'm in a home.
You're in a home.
Yeah.
You're on a cell phone then and sound like you're in a truck.
I'm sorry. It's a radio telephone.
My
closest neighbor's about 20 miles away.
Oh, you're way out in the sticks? Where?
Southern Utah near Zion National Park.
Okay, pretty area.
It is rather pretty, to say the least. Utah's a real pretty state. I'm not from here. But anyway, the reason I called, first I wanted to thank you for me being able to get an XM radio. I ordered one for 2 or 3 months and hadn't been able to get one, and then you mentioned slightly that the Sea Crane Company had some, and I was the first one to call the next morning and I got one.
Those things are harder to get than hen's teeth.
They are. They're great,
yeah.
They're hard to get.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's unreal how clear and how nice it is to be able to listen. But, and how many choices you have.
Well, there's nothing between you and the satellite delivering it to you, sir, so.
That's right. I mean, it's great, and I think they're wonderful, and someday you'll be able to get them just by going down and buying one, but now you have to search and wait and wait and wait. It was a nightmare, but anyway.
It's almost like you got to know somebody. Anyway, what's up?
Okay. It's kind of a long story, but at any rate, you've talked a lot about being able to, being scared about what you do with moving weather and doing this and doing that.
Oh, the experiments, yes.
Yeah, the experiment.
Yes.
Now, there's a real simple experiment that you can do, or anyone can do, that shows them the power within themselves. We all have it.
And what would that be?
Well, the experiment or the power?
Well, the experiment. How about
Okay, the experiment is you simply take a few carrot tops, you know, the half inch from the top.
Yes.
That still has growth. Not the ones that are cut off, but you have to get them from a health food store.
No, I got you.
Okay, you take, say, 6 carrot tops, 8 carrot tops, put 4 in one bowl and 4 in the other bowl.
Uh-huh.
And label them plus and minus or love, hate, or whatever you want to label them.
All right.
Take one set down and take it away from the other set and talk to it once a day.
Uh-huh.
And say, I love you, give it good thoughts, blah, blah, blah. The other, put it back in the windowsill so it gets sunlight. The other set, give it all your resentments and hates and et cetera.
Think of it as a lousy, stinking, abysmal carrot that deserves nothing but plant death.
That's right.
Yes. And then put that one in the sun, too, so you have a controlled experiment,
You have
right?
a control. And if you want, you can have three bowls. Now, you got to put a little water in the bottom of the bowl. You know, they got to have something.
That's fair.
Put a little water. You can put them in a coffee, just a little bowl. You know?
All right. So you obviously have tried this experiment yourself, and what's happened?
I've had hundreds, literally thousands of people try it. I've got a website that shows it.
Okay.
About 25 years ago, I did it.
Listen, we don't have a lot of time, so I understand we're on a radio phone. What were the results,
that 90% of the people did it right.
90%.
And 10% had it reversed. 90%, the positive grew, the negative died, the water turned brown. The other, it grew.
God, that's incredible. All right, I appreciate it. I know you're on a radio phone there. So you kill the bad carrots, or the ones you have dubbed bad. You do it with your mind, and you cause the good ones to flourish. Murder by Mind. Back into the dark of night. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good evening.
Art?
Yes?
How are you doing?
I'm doing.
Oh, I love your program.
I love it, too.
Very entertaining, especially when you have callers like J.C., I've got to say.
I think he blew it tonight. The Adams Family thing... You know, with what he professes, can you really think of J.C. settling... Of course, J.C. probably never settles down, but in front of a TV to watch the Addams Family, please.
Well, there was another angle on that I thought of. Maybe, because that show's been on for a long time. I remember watching that when I was a kid. Now,
yeah,
he might
too.
Be going back to childhood memories of when he watched it when he was a kid, before he became, well, what he is today.
Yeah, maybe.
You know? He just could be recalling memories from back then. But, you know, I'll just give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. But he's always very entertaining.
He could also be proof of a dimensional slip. Anyway, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, two things, actually. First thing is regarding these chemtrails that I hear about. I listen to your program as often as I can. Normally I'm a day person, and I don't get to listen to your show as much as I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I live in Tucson, and... A question I have, a couple of regarding the chemtrails, is first of all, what sort of planes are supposedly delivering this stuff?
Regular jet aircraft, commercial jet aircraft. Other people say plain, unmarked white planes, but the majority of chemtrail reports, sir, come after delivery of what used to be called a contrail over any specific area that begins to not look, you know, it just lingers and changes. And I've seen it happen in my own skies right here. And then the sky gets kind of murky, a dirty kind of color. And it's hazy, and the sun is just barely making it through anymore. And everything has changed.
I know. I lived in I was originally from Chicago. I lived in Tucson for about 9 years now.
You've seen it happen?
I've seen it change. The skies used to be totally crystal clear blue.
Here, here. Especially
and now they're
Tucson.
Just... it's like there's a dirty film.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And a couple things regarding that is... If supposedly this stuff is coming from, I guess, additives in the jet fuel, and of course if it's from the government, it's probably coming out of every military plane that's flying too.
It's a theory.
A couple days ago you had a caller that said that he supposedly saw a chemtrail plane, or 50 of them, or a whole bunch.
Yep.
And, then right that night it snowed all of a sudden, got cold, and all this.
That's right.
Now, has anyone bothered to analyze chemically the precipitation that's supposedly caused by these chemtrails?
Because they certainly have.
And what has come up?
Well, they've found aluminum. They have found some biological stuff. I mean, really weird stuff you hardly even want to know. They've found human cell and blood samples and all kinds of weird things. This is what I've heard. And I've had guests on who have analyzed this stuff, but it's not all definitive yet, and it's very, very, very hard to get samples on the ground. The only real way to get good, clean samples of this so that we know what we're dealing with is to get them at altitude, and that's pretty high. Commercial jetliners, you know, they're flying 28,000, 30,000, 32,000, 33,000, and on up. So you'd have to actually go up there and get a sample.
Okay, or maybe sample the jet fuel? If there's anyone that listens to the program that works for an airline and it's supposedly in,
well, you know what,
additive in the fuel, I mean, that would be a direct chemical test.
I know, but there's a lot of security around jet airplanes these days, sir.
Well, I used to work at an airport. I'm a certified aircraft mechanic. I don't do that anymore. I do, believe it or not, I do air conditioning now. It pays better and there's less paperwork. That's another story.
Listen, I couldn't agree more with you, and if we can get somebody who can get us a sample, then I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I guess you would have to get several before you'd have anything absolutely conclusive, wouldn't you? You'd have to get several samples. But getting one at altitude would be probably the ultimate way to do it. Because for all we know, it's mixed at some other point. I mean, who knows? All I know is that what used to be contrails are definitely not what we have today. We have something utterly different. Now, could that be a change in atmospherics? I tend to think not, but I suppose you can't rule that one out either. In other words, jet fuel or jet exhaust is reacting with the atmosphere in some way that it did not previously. But one thing's for damn sure. Whatever it is that's up there is doing what people are saying. I've seen it myself so many times, it's not even funny. It turns into a kind of a weird, hazy, gloomy sort of day where the sun is barely making it through, and all this grows from what, you know, begins as what we think of as contrails. I mean, it's just a natural fact. It's going on, and it's either because of a change in the atmosphere itself or because of a change of what's being put into the atmosphere. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi.
Well, I gotta say, you kind of freak me out. Every time I turn your show on, something happens. I haven't talked to you ever, but I haven't listened to you in a long time, and I just say, well, I'll turn it on tonight and talk about all kinds of stuff that has recently affected my life, actually.
Really?
I never heard of chemtrails before, and you guys are talking about it, so I started surfing the web, you know, on your site, and I saw pictures.
Oh, yes. We have pictures galore.
Oh, yeah. That freaked me out because I walked outside a couple days ago, and I looked out, and I saw some things that looked exactly like your pictures.
Yes.
Right here.
Yes, sir.
In Massachusetts, and I was like, ooh, that's kind of freaky. But then I turned on tonight. As soon as I turned on your show, you had a caller talking about the replenish issue in Genesis.
Oh, yes.
That's kind of interesting because it's really only the King James Version of the Bible that says that.
Well, I know, but if we're going to argue that different versions say, I mean, a lot of people put a lot of stock in the King James Version, sir, so.
Yes, they do. And I think that's kind of unfortunate because that pretty much means there are people out there who believe that that's the only version, and that if you don't have a King James Bible, you're going to hell, essentially, which means everybody prior to 1611 had to go to hell because that's when it was written.
Would that be the one that you get in motel rooms, you know, the Gideon Bible? Is that the King James Version?
I'm not sure what the Gideons are, but I just happen to look up. See, the Bible's not like, it's not a book you can just read. You have to study it. And when you look up the Hebrew word, which is the original word it was translated from, it's the word spelled M-A-L-E, like male, but it's pronounced male, which literally means to fill.
Well, I'd hate to be in a motel room, know I was dying, grab for the drawer, grab the Bible, and find out I had the wrong thing when I got up there. Sorry.
True, but that, I mean, when you're reading the Gideons or whatever, you're probably looking for other things rather than technical issues like replenish the earth.
Well, you've got to admit, it's interesting. I mean, how can you replenish that which was not plenished prior to that time?
Sure, that's a good argument, except if you study in Hebrew, it means to fill. So it's an error in the English translation.
Well, to refill is, I understand replenish, to be refilling.
Right, but the English translator of the Hebrew word means to fill, and the translators of the King James said replenish. However,
well,
they
to me, which means to fill again.
It does, correct. But if you read any other translation of the Bible, like the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, or the Amplified Bible, or any others, they'll say to fill.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call and the thought, but either way, to me, that would be refill, which would mean the same thing. And if they are different and, you know, it is significantly different, I mean, after all, that from the King James and to any other version is a very different a meaning, not just a subtly different meaning, but a very, very different meaning. And I thought the word was word was word, right? Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Art.
Hello.
Oh, hi, it's Michael from Long Beach, California.
Hey there, Michael.
I'm listening to you on KFI.
Yes, sir, the Monster 640 in LA.
Three things. I've been corresponding with the frozen bottle guy on your webpage.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I figured that an airplane mechanic left it in the landing gear bay, and when the plane came to land, the bays opened up and it fell down and hit him.
Well, was he in a flight path?
He's 8 miles from the airport is what he says on his email back to me.
In the flight path?
He didn't say that, but he said he didn't hear a plane flying over. So, you know, but the plane would have flown over probably a minute before.
It is a weird pop bottle. Now, I don't know whether you went to the trouble of trying to blow the picture up.
Oh, no, he sent me a full-size photo so you can read the label and everything.
Really?
Yeah. And there's some discount store that sells it, not right in his area, but someplace else, I guess. He found out.
Well, totally weird. If I heard one crashing through my, well, I don't have trees. Well, I do.
Yeah.
But not crashing through type trees, so.
That'd take you out if it hit you in the head.
Yes, it would.
Hey, another thing. I was thinking of going camping up at Area 51. Is there still activity up there by you?
Listen to me.
Okay.
When you go up to that area, you're going to get in trouble.
Well, I mean, I'll stay out of the no trespass area, but I want to be in that area.
You know, the signs don't just say no trespass, sir. They say lethal force is authorized.
So I'll stay on the good side of that sign.
You definitely want to be on the good side. And even not at that, they're gonna look at you. There are very serious people in very serious vehicles. I mean, you can give it a shot.
Do you still see, is there any activity in your skies at night? Do you ever see anything?
Well, most of my nights, no, you understand, are spent sitting right here. So I don't see a lot here.
Yeah.
But I have seen more in our skies in Pahrump, Nevada. One night I'll do it again. I'll open the lines for Pahrump, and you'll see what I mean. There's nobody that lives where I live who doesn't see things that most times you just wouldn't want to talk about, sir.
So it'd be worth a try coming up there for the weekend. Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want an adventure.
And then the last thing, I'm a computer geek, and I actually used, you remember that old movie War Games?
Oh, yes.
I used a war dialer to get through to you tonight. I entered all your numbers in there, and I set the millisecond pulse to 45 milliseconds, and I just had it dial and dial and dial, and it finally got 30. It took me 34 minutes.
All right. Well, I appreciate your making it.
I gave away my secret.
Don't do that. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Art.
Take care. Good luck on your camping trip. They're very serious about that up there. You've got to be very, very, very careful. Even if you're not strictly in the area, if they don't like your looks, you know, you can spend a little time in county jail up there. They don't fool around with you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
East of the Rockies?
Yes, that would be you.
Yes, that's me. Hi, Art. I'm very happy to finally get to talk to you.
And to you, ma'am. Where are you?
I'm in New York.
New York, as in city?
Well, outside of the city. I'm listening to you on WABC.
77.
WABC?
Yeah.
Yes, and you're making me an insomniac. I can never get to bed until you're off the air most of the time.
Now, that'd be, let's see, about 5 o'clock back there.
Mm. Right, right.
Yes.
Yes, I wanted to tell you that I have experienced ghosts and that I have proof that they really do exist.
Oh, now, that's quite a statement.
Yes.
Proof that they really exist?
Right.
Like what?
Well, the experience I had, well, it also concerned, well, it involved my three sons, but it was our first house, and we had bought it in the late 1970s.
Yes.
At the time, they were about, 8 and 5 and 2 years old. And sometimes, because my husband traveled, we had an intercom in the house. And had it on, like, especially at night, or if I was downstairs and wanted to hear the kids when they went to bed, I would turn the intercom on.
Yes.
And sometimes after we had been in the house for a year or so, I went down the basement. Me in particular, I seem to be very sensitive to these things. And I felt just not right or very uncomfortable about being in the basement, like doing the laundry and that kind of thing.
Well, that's where things happen, in the basement. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, well, this went on and happened really all over the house. But it would happen, like, at night when I would be trying to fall asleep, and I would feel a cold, light cold breeze, and the curtain would be moving. Mm. And then my side of the bed would start to shake.
Shake?
Shake, tremble a little bit. And I was so scared and so just, like, paralyzed, I couldn't move, I couldn't...
Now, okay, are you sure that it was just your bed shaking, that the floor itself was not shaking?
No, it was just the bed.
Just the bed.
My side of the bed.
Very bad.
And
especially if it's just your side, very bad.
And he, my husband, of course, he sleeps like a log. He didn't hear anything. And this has happened, that had happened a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
So as time went on, I mean, I really didn't tell him. Well, my husband is Oriental, and they are not too into or too fond of hearing about ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
So a little later on, one evening, everyone else had gone to bed, and I, as I said, I'm an insomniac, and I was up late doing the dishes. And I'm standing in the kitchen, and suddenly I just felt very strange, and the hair went up on the back of my neck.
Oh, yes.
And I felt that there was someone there, a presence there. And I turned quickly to my right and looked. And there were two people standing in the doorway between the kitchen and the living room.
Fully materialized, regular, normal people?
Just about. They were sort of opaque.
Oh.
I couldn't really see all the way through them, but they were not...
Fully.
Fully
materialized, I've got it,
Right, and they both had trench coats on, raincoats. The man was tall, tallish, slim man with thinnish hair combed straight back. And the woman was shorter and a little stocky. And I was just absolutely, as a matter of fact, I wasn't really terrified or afraid. I was just like in awe.
Were they aware that you recognized them?
Well, they looked right at me.
Okay.
And I looked right at them.
Yes.
So they must have realized that I knew they were there.
Did you scream?
No, I couldn't. I was like I said, I wasn't really scared. I was just so taken aback, so mesmerized.
Other people would say shocked.
Exactly.
Yeah, in shock.
But and then they were gone.
You mean, what do you mean by gone? You mean...
Maybe 5 or 10 seconds.
When you say gone, do you mean they just disappeared in front of your eyes?
Yes, they just faded away. So after that, I mean, I still haven't told anyone about this, haven't told my husband or anything. Again, later on, this is during the day, I was preparing dinner in the kitchen, and my husband, he has a routine. I heard the front door open. He came in, he usually put his briefcase down in the dining room. I heard him put his briefcase down.
Yeah.
He came in, went upstairs where he was, you know, he usually goes up, and I could hear the footsteps on the stairs to change his clothes.
Yes.
And I walked in the living room and called him to say, you know, oh, you're home. There was no answer.
Ow.
Then I went upstairs, and he wasn't there.
Huh. And there was nobody there.
There was nobody there. So, we had learned, I think, that both of the people that owned the house had died. I don't know if they died in the house, but that was why the house was for sale, and they had passed away.
Do you know that in most states now, it is required, before selling, renting, whatever, a house that is known to be haunted, that it be disclosed to the buyer or renter? Do you know that?
No, I didn't. I don't know if anybody else really...
Did they tell you before you moved in, did they say, well, you know, the prior owners here, they died. Anybody say that?
I think the prior owners said that, or when our neighbors said that someone had died, but they didn't say that they died in the house. I just assumed that they died in the hospital, you know.
Mm.
But the two clinches to this is that I went across the street to ask my neighbor, an elderly Italian woman, and she'd lived there for so many years, and she knew the people who lived in the house. I went over to her, and I said, and she didn't know that I knew that they died, or I had never seen them, I had never seen a picture of them or anything.
Yes.
And I asked her, I said, were the couple who, the elderly couple who lived here, was the man rather tall and thin, and the woman, you know, shorter and a little heavier?
Yeah.
And the man had, you know, straight hair, combed back, thin hair.
Yes.
She said, yes, that's what they look like.
And I don't suppose she had any photographs.
I don't. I didn't think at the time to ask her. But then...
very quickly, we're almost...
Yes. We were outside in our yard raking leaves one autumn, and, you know, one year that we were there, and a car pulled up. And stopped, and a man got out of the car, and it looked like the man that I saw. And he said that he was his son.
It
was a grown-up man.
Now, there you definitely could have had a photograph if you had pursued it.
Yeah, and he had two children in the car, and they didn't want to come in because they said they wanted to remember their grandmother and the home, her home, the way it was. And I feel that those people love, because they said they love the house so much.
I understand. I've got to go. I'm sorry. We're out of time. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. Once again, into the night. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Mark in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Yes, Mark. How's Altoona?
Oh, just wonderful tonight. A little bit overcast. Didn't get a chance to see Saturn last night, but well.
Anyway, hey, what's up?
Yeah, I've been meaning to call you for some time. Because the reports that, you know, that we hear about the shadow people and other things going bump in the night.
Oh, yes.
And the strange coincidence it has with something that I've suffered from most of my life, which is called sleep paralysis.
Well, you know what that is, don't you?
I do.
It's the step you take before an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, when they first started happening to me, I actually thought I was possessed or was in the process of becoming possessed.
No.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. I was a raised a Baptist kid without being baptized. So, in fact, I've never been baptized.
Well, when it happens to you, what do you do?
Well, through years and years of dealing with this thing, I found that the best thing to do is relax.
Actually, you're right. That's exactly the right thing to do.
That is probably the worst thing to say because it's the biggest understatement. It's probably one of the hardest things to do in the world.
That's right. It is. You're scared to death. But, you know, if it keeps happening for years and years, eventually, I suppose, getting angry, you try something new, and that's one thing you'd try.
I mean, you get scared. And one thing about the clinical diagnosis of it,
I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. But one thing that does happen is, and it really makes sense, is you can't move your body.
Right.
If you go into like stage one sleep, you've lost that ability to move your own body.
That's right.
But for some strange reason, there are some of us who seem to be in the awake mode and the sleep mode at the same time.
Right.
And you can also get into that REM mode in the awake mode at the
same
time.
You can even do it totally awake. It's called lucid dreaming. There's all kinds of incredible things you can do. If you relax, then what's liable to occur is you're liable to have an OBE if you haven't yet.
Well, you know, there's so much to this. You know,
wait a minute. You gave me a little laugh there. Does that mean you have had one?
I have had all kinds of experience.
I would imagine.
And I've had the opportunity to see future events on different occasions.
I believe you.
And I mean, you know that term, extraordinary? Extraordinary? I believe it's just extraordinary.
I'm not even sure it's that extraordinary. What you have accomplished is certainly extraordinary. It's something I couldn't do in a million years. You have crossed the barrier because you have learned to relax. Now, you know, he said it was the biggest understatement in the world. He's right. It's the biggest understatement in the world. If you're lying there paralyzed, it is such an intensely fearful thing that to relax under those circumstances takes a control of the mind that, to me, only a yogi or somebody like that has. Although, after years and years, I suppose you could develop it. And once you have relaxed, then you're in another realm. And so that you have seen the future, or that you are able to exit your body and any of a million other things would be at your disposal. But the key word is understatement. To just learn to relax, big time understatement. Hardly anybody can do that. It is too terrifying. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Yes, hi.
Yes, I heard a couple of your callers earlier and how they defended themselves against the shadow people, how they relaxed the things away and got rid of their fear.
Exactly.
I may have gone one better. I at least had a different technique. Now, in my experience, I had a couple of attacks on two consecutive nights, and honestly, to tell you the truth, at the time, I really didn't perceive them as attacks because of the way I accidentally defended myself. I just sort of remembered them as sort of half-remembered hazy dreams with a really unique feel to them.
Yeah.
Anyways, it started out with how some of the other stories you've heard started. Basically, a weight started pressing down upon me.
Right.
And now, as to how I defended myself...
This is so common. I mean, all of this has to be real. In other words, there has to be something real to it. Story after story after story. Mm-hmm. It's not BS. This really is happening. Okay, so a weight on you.
Yeah. Now, as to how I defended myself, quick bit of history about my personality. I grew up with a plethora of dogs and cats, and we all just absolutely loved each other. I've been very good with animals. I could go to sleep by myself, and when I'd wake up in the morning, there'd be literally four animals in the bed with me, and I'd usually have an arm around one or two of them.
Yeah.
And basically, I think I just developed a sleep time habit of automatically cuddling with anything that touched me.
Okay, well, proceed, yes.
So, yeah, you can probably tell where this is going.
Well, there's a lot of people that will cuddle with anything that will touch them, but anyway, go ahead.
So, anyway, I feel this thing press down on top of me, and my instinct, you know, as I remembered, I just started cuddling with this thing. I just put my arms around it. And there did not seem to be any detrimental effects whatsoever after that. And in fact, it's...
So you probably cuddled the shadow person, is what you're saying, right?
Anyways, what happened on both occasions, this thing, it just sort of...
cuddled back? Did it cuddle back?
It didn't really cuddle back. I got a sense that it had... question marks over its head or something.
I'm sure it did.
It just sort of oozed down beside me.
Yeah, in a cartoon it would have question marks over its head. Oh, God.
And the feeling I got from it was something along the lines of, okay, that wasn't in the script.
Yeah, he's supposed to be scared to death right now.
Yeah.
And instead, he's cuddling me.
Yeah, and this is before I knew about shadow people or anything like that. I later on talked with somebody on a news group.
Yes.
About this. You know, like I said, I just thought it was a dream, but somebody on the news group basically told me that was a dream. That was a failed succubus attack.
Failed indeed. Well, all right, you get the blue ribbon for the night so far, sir.
Yes, okay, so my advice, if people are attacked by these things, they should just give them a big hug.
Give them a big hug. I got the message. Thank you. You can imagine, if an entity's ego is dependent upon your being scared, totally freaked, frozen in fear, unable to even move a muscle, being cuddled would, as I said in a cartoon, there'd be question marks up there. That's incredible. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
I'm still giggling.
Yeah, that was a good one, Art.
That was great. As a matter of fact, I think I'll use that if I ever run across a shadow person.
Well, there actually is quite a lesson there. I mean, if there's one central point that's emerging from this morning's program, it's that those who have either relaxed or run the whole spectrum from relaxed to loving a shadow person or some invader, you're going to beat them.
Well, it seems to me that the best thing you could possibly do is give them what they don't expect.
Love.
Yeah. And if you love them, you know, then they're going to go, okay, well, I have to go to somebody else.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, there's not much here.
Right. First of all, I want to tell you that I have a Bayesian radio.
A Bayesian, yes.
And it's great.
They're incredible.
They're
also not available right now. I told people they were going to run out. They ran out, and I don't know when we're going to get them. They're hard to get now. Really hard.
Well, I bought one from C.C. Crane.
From Crane.
Mm-hmm. From Crane, and living out here in California with all the, we had all the power rollouts, and
well,
who knows what we're going to have next.
What part of California are you in?
I'm in the Central Coast.
A 5.2 earthquake just south of San Diego rattled stuff all around. We're entering a very interesting time for Californians.
I'm waiting. I listened to Berkland the other night.
Yes,
and I'm 90 miles south of San Francisco.
Then you probably weren't surprised to hear about this earthquake, huh?
No, I wasn't at all.
And we're not even really solidly in the window yet.
I'm crossing my toes and my fingers and everything else and hoping that... I was 7 miles away from the La Prieta fault line when it hit.
It's really awful. It's terrifying, isn't it?
Well, where we were, it's all rock. So it didn't do anything crazy. But it's
You know, I'm going to tell you...
Santa Cruz fell apart.
Yeah, I went through a really, really serious earthquake here, 7.3, that occurred in the desert not far from Perum.
Mm-hmm.
And... it was really, truly terrifying. We were awake. It was like, I forget, 3 or 4 in the morning. But the terrifying thing about it is, as an earthquake progresses, you have, and gets worse and worse and worse, you have no way of knowing, except you know that if it goes another notch worse than it's happening right now, things are going to start breaking around you. That's terrifying.
Well, the ground, when we ran out of the house, was moving like waves.
Yeah. Oh,
and
just
the
like
trees they were swaying down to the point where they looked like they were going to fall.
If you can get outside and actually watch it, the ground moves like an ocean wave.
It did.
I mean, you can't believe that until you see it, but that's what's happening.
It's really frightening.
Yeah.
But, okay, why I called, this kind of got me off the subject, but it's a couple things. One, I wanted to suggest a couple of guests.
Mention the new movie. They would, well, what are the guests?
Robin Williams, for one.
Ah, yes.
He'd be wonderful, wouldn't he?
It'd probably be like an evening with J.C., but yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
All right.
And I've missed Danion.
Danion Brinkley?
Yes.
Danion could certainly come back on, yes.
I'd love to hear him again.
Okay.
And then the other thing I had told you before is Clouds.
I saw the strangest thing in the clouds the other day.
Like what?
Well, you know, I've seen chemtrails. I know what they are.
Yes.
And we've had some buttes around.
Okay, but what did you see?
Well, what I saw was I saw a huge cloud that was going across. Well, it wasn't a huge cloud. It was more of like a dissipated cloud.
Yes.
It was going across the sun.
Yes.
And as the cloud was on either side of the sun, it was in multicolored colors.
Okay.
And it wasn't like a rainbow. It was almost like, you know, a gas slick.
Well, that can happen. I follow what you're saying. But the moisture content in the cloud conceivably could produce that prism effect if there was enough moisture content. So, yeah.
Well, it was pretty strange looking, though, because I'd never seen it before, and I've looked at...
Well, I
always look at the sky.
I hear you, but I've seen a lot of interesting, very, very interesting, even puzzling things like what she just talked about. I've even seen... Now this will freak out. I think I've seen two suns. I actually think that I've seen two suns. Now, I'm sure it's an optical conclusion of some sort. But it really has looked like there were two suns at one time. Now, it's probably some sort of highly intense reflection on a cloud from the sun itself that causes that effect. But, boy, I'll tell you, to the eye, you would swear that you're seeing two suns. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay.
Wow. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you mean by not quite in the window yet when you're talking about earthquakes a minute ago?
Well, if you had heard, we did a show with Jim Berkland a short while ago in which he talked about a pretty horrible convergence of things coming later on in March.
Great. I'm leaving for L.A. next Friday.
Oh, you are?
Well, I'm only going for 6 days.
Try and think of it, if it happens, sir, as part of the L.A. experience.
Right. Well, I have some other experiences to talk to you about.
Yes.
Probably in the last 15 years or so, I've had at least six visitations by the shadow people. And going back 15 years ago, I was calling them shadow people before I ever even heard of your show.
Really? All right. Well, that's how they got their name. I mean, after all, if they are nothing more in essence to our eyes than shadows, it's a pretty logical name, right?
It makes sense that everybody comes to the same conclusion.
Sure.
Well, I'll tell you, probably the most interesting one I had was a double in one night. It was shortly after Desert Storm. I was in the Army, and I was doing paramilitary operations. We were part of a military experiment, which I don't know a whole lot about. It was more or less a schleppy.
Really?
In it, yeah.
What sort of experiment?
I can tell you what I know because it's kind of public knowledge. Other people saw it, so it's not like it's a big secret.
Please do.
It was part of something that was going on from South America all the way up to Alaska, and I was working up around on the border of Canada.
Yes.
In logging country.
Yes.
And our job first was to pick up all these little white boxes and install them in various places, in high towers in various places. That was stage one.
What? Really?
And I don't really know what they were, except that when I first got it, I was looking inside it, you know, and this, right out of the movies, this guy was a total egghead with the glasses, the whole deal.
What were your specific orders?
Okay. My orders were just to take this box and install it. And these various towers on top of mountains and all kinds of other places.
And these boxes were going to just simply be littered about, or what?
I don't know what they were. When I was looking at the egghead that I was working with, said I wouldn't stare at that if I was you. And I said, why? Well, you'll fry your retinas. I'm like, oh, great. I've been looking at it for 15 minutes, you know.
When did this occur?
This was, I'm going to say, 1992, 93.
Really? And you're saying this same operation was conducted across a very wide expanse of the country?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easily.
Do you remember what the name of the operation was?
No, I was a low-level schleppy at the time. But here's something that'll...
All right, hold on. I've got a break coming up. Can you hold on?
Yeah.
I definitely want to hear the rest of this story.
Okay.
Definitely, so stay right there. White boxes installed. something out of the white boxes. That's so weird, sir. So here you are looking into it. Egghead type says, don't do that if you value your retinas or something.
Yeah, he might have been just pulling my leg, but then again, maybe not. I don't know. So I'd stop looking at him. I just installed him.
How many people were involved in this operation in the vicinity, in your vicinity?
I was part of a small contingent of probably a dozen guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there was stuff going on elsewhere, all over the place. I suspect that it was at least what they kind of alluded to, that it was early tests on the GPS system at the time. But that was stage one. Stage two was kind of a little bit more interesting, I thought, anyway. We were up in, like I said, up in around Canada and in logging country where people, like, floss their teeth with rope, you know. And we were installing these... we're installing these metal pyramids they had us build.
Yes.
Roughly 14 feet high.
Right.
And they had to be angled at a certain degree and in very specific ways you had to build these things. And then we had to leave the area completely, just get out of there for several hours and wait for the call to go back and clean them up and build other ones.
Huh.
So anyway, I'm sitting in a diner and some of those people... from up there, they're like, what are you doing out there, you know? And I'm like, and I was just kidding around, at least I thought it was. I says, we're talking aliens, you know, just kind of off to the side, you know? And my boss
Were you in uniform?
No, I was in the military, but I was not in uniform.
Oh, okay.
And my boss yanked me out of there and gave me a verbal whiplash outside about saying that. I said, geez, you know, I'm only kidding around. I was like, you don't kid around about stuff like that, you know? Like, all right, whatever. So later that night, I'm in my room. I had my own room in this lodge. And I look towards the closet. I just got this weird feeling. I can't really explain it except, you know, the hairs standing up type thing.
Yep.
And I'm looking at this kind of weird. And I laid down. And I've had several experiences with shadow people before. And it was kind of the feeling that I was used to. And I was thinking to myself, well, something might happen tonight, you know. And this time, it was worse than ever. I was laying on my side. I was asleep. And I felt the edge of the bed go down and kind of woke me up. But I was, like, paralyzed. I could not move. And I saw something out of the corner. I'm laying on my side, and I could see...
You actually felt the depression of the bed?
I felt the depression of the bed, yeah.
Yeah.
And then out of the corner of my eye, I'm laying on my side. I saw this darker than the darkness of the room...
Yes.
Come over me.
Yes.
And the crushing feeling, the same description that the other callers were saying.
Yes.
And in my case, it doesn't really so much feel like they're strangling me around the neck as much as it feels like they're suffocating me almost like with a pillow or something. I just can't get oxygen.
And I know that feeling, yes.
It was really intense. It was really horrible. And like one of your previous callers, I grew up a Baptist, so first thing I did was plead the blood of Christ and, you know, did my own little exorcist right there.
Well, there's that and cuddling with it.
Yeah, and cuddling with it. That's when you get the Tim Allen spirit going, uh-huh. So that worked. But when I did that, I prayed and everything, and it felt like it intensified for a minute, like it was really pissed off at me, you know, and then it took off. And it left me alone, and the room got very, very cold. And this was in the middle of the summer, so it was normally pretty hot in there, you know.
Bad sign.
And it got really cold, and I'm sitting, I must have stayed up for probably a good half hour just kind of gathering my thoughts, you know, and recomposing myself. Then finally, I went back to sleep. And I kind of had the attitude like, well, if you're coming after me, just get it over with, you know. And I fell asleep, and as soon as I fell asleep, it came back, and it was... twice as bad as it was previously. And all I did was I just kind of released and said, well, this is it. You know, I believe I was going to heaven, so I'm like, hey, let's go.
So, like, you relaxed?
I just completely relaxed and it just said, hey, do what you got to do.
And
it gave up and...
Okay, there we are again. It's the theme of the night. May have actually answered some fairly serious questions tonight, and that is the way to deal with these entities, whatever they are, is apparently in a range from relaxing to cuddling. Funny, but on the other hand, effective in call after call after call. And the other thing I wanted to comment on that a lot of people have said tonight, you know, when you obviously know you're in company, and the hair on the back of your neck begins to stand up. This is something that we share with animals, this sense. It's not as well developed anymore in human beings. But I think that we all share some degree of it. And that is, even though you don't see, or you don't hear, or you don't physically know in any way that something is in your presence, or perhaps even stalking you, you know how a prey understands it's being stalked, it has a sense, it knows, and there's some little bit of that left in human beings, and that's how the hair stands up at the back of your neck. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Hi, this is Blair out in La Quinta, California.
Yes, sir.
I love the show. I normally take it with a grain of salt for some of the stories.
So do I.
And you know, I was fascinated by Mel's whole, but of course that last half hour of his last interview kind of made me go, no way. But
not so, you know what? Not so much with me. I really thought a lot about that program and Mel, and the way he told that story, I'm going to say it again. I said it that night. To me, no reflection, Mel, but there's no way in hell he'd be capable of making that up. I'm sorry. I don't buy it.
Well, today I see merit in his story. I actually have a witness to this, too. I was picked up a friend in Indio at the bus station. We were heading back towards Palm Desert.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, it's one of those days where this place is covered in contrails or chemtrails, whichever you want to refer to them as.
Right.
And we both at the same time were looking ahead of us, and we both went, what the F is that?
Uh-huh.
What was it? It really looked like a black beam of light.
Ah, here we go. I've been getting these emails lately about these black beams of light.
And you know how a searchlight, those ones they put out in front of movie theaters and stuff, look.
Yes, of course, yes.
It was like that, except it was black.
Black.
It did not change in its thickness. It did not spread.
Yeah, I know. Listen, we're really on to something here. I've had gazillion emails on the subject since it was first brought up. Now there's you. I've had fast blasting on it, and we're on to something new. Something's going on. These beams. It's exactly as you said. In the night sky, one of those spotlights they use to advertise something where you can clearly see the beam, except in this case, it's black.
And it was in the middle of the day.
Yes, sir.
And it was at an angle.
Yes, sir.
My friend in the car with me, we both looked at it. We said, we have no explanation for what could create that.
Well, it's something new. Whatever it is, it's new, and it's been discovered on this program. So that's all I have to tell you at this point. Obviously, it's real. It's either a phenomena or it's the military.
Where it was supposedly landing was somewhere in the mall area where the stores and stuff are, but we couldn't really be sure. It was too far away from us. But it was in front of the mountains, and it was definitely touching ground. And we just could not figure out for the life of us what could possibly make that.
Could you discern whether it was coming from the ground going up or up going down?
Well, the problem was is the sun was over my left shoulder where it was headed. And I couldn't see it extend any further out beyond one of the chemtrails that it seemed to be intersecting. It was too bright. I could definitely make out where it touched ground.
No, I've got it. Thank you very much. We're on to something here. Now, I don't know where it's going, but I know that, and I can confirm for you that I've had 50, 100 reports of what that man just said. It's something new, and it's something unexplained, and that's all we can call it at the moment. It could be, you can imagine, this could be some sort of military something or another. It could have something to do with the weather experimentation, and that's a wag, which is a wild-ass guess. I have no idea if that's what it is, but we are certainly on to the fact that these things are now being seen and that they're real and that they are something. This many people cannot be wrong. So something new is going on out there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello? Going once, going twice, gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, and my compliments to the soldering iron master.
I'm getting fast in my old age with the soldering.
You're getting good.
How are you doing, Ed? And where are you?
I'm in California.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that I was surfing the Citizens Band radio in a southeastern state 3 years ago. I built a cabin there, and it was late at night, couldn't sleep, so I thought, okay, I'm going to turn on the radio. You know, in some places, the CB is just like the old party line telephone.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what's happening. And so anyway, I was flipping channels, and I started hearing some people talking about something that was kind of interesting. It was really a hideous crime that some teenagers had committed, and they slaughtered an entire family, and they said they did it to drink their blood because they were vampires.
Oh, my God. You're hearing this on for real?
Yeah, well, at the time, it was in the newspapers there, you know. And these people that were on the radio were discussing the case. And
stay good and close to the phone for me.
Yeah, okay. I had to put in my 2 cents worth, and I said, people were saying, like, well, they didn't believe in such things. And I said, those teenagers killed a family, and they said that's why they did it. And I said, so I kind of tend to, you know, put a little credence to what they're saying. I said, maybe not in a Hollywood vampire, sort of a bat kind of a flying way, but I said there are some odd people that do some real weird things.
Yes,
and
there are.
So an older man's voice immediately came on, and he said, I've been waiting to hear from you. He said, I've been waiting. He said, I am what you're talking about. And I thought, right, yeah, this is somebody, he's just awake at night, just like me, surfing around on the channels and listening. Well, I started to ask him a few questions, and he said, well, before I answer any questions, you're going to have to do something for me. And I says, yeah, what would that be? And he said, you're going to have to close your eyes and listen to what I'm saying. And I thought, right. So I left my eyes open, and I says, yeah, okay. He says, I said, close your eyes. And I said, in other words, like he knew, you know. And the gist of the matter was...
You closed your eyes?
I did close my eyes, and as soon as I did, he was very good at some kind of hypnotic mesmerization over the radio. The next thing that happened is this entity appeared. I felt safe in my own living room. It came somehow through the CB into my living room.
You don't remember what channel you were on, do you?
Lord, no.
No.
But it wasn't.
That'd be one to stay away from, whatever it is.
Actually, I do remember the channel, but I don't know if channels are the same all over the country. You know, but like I say, this took place in the southeast.
Yeah,
and
channel 1 through 40, pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So what channel was it?
It was 19, actually.
No, 19. Oh, God, 19. Yes.
Well, anyway, let me tell you, what appeared in my living room was not a human.
What was it, pray tell?
It appeared to be a hybrid, a human canine hybrid, possibly a wolf.
You mean part dog, part human?
Part wolf, part human.
Part
huge canine. I have no idea what wolf.
What, describe physically as best you can the way, what part of it appeared human?
The voice and what it was saying, mostly just that. The rest of it mostly was animaled out. And its intentions towards me were of a sexual nature. And I had an experience that scared me so bad, I haven't been able to go back to my cabin in 3 years because I am afraid.
Well, dare I ask you about the experience?
Yeah.
I mean, you said its intention was sexual.
It definitely was, and...
Its action?
Yes, yes.
Sexual.
It had this, like I said, it was a mesmerizing, extremely powerful, hypnotic kind of a being, and it not only did it have outrageous sexual encounters with me for hours over the CB, but it was on open line. The key was down, and it was the darkest thing. I've always lived, you know, on the light side and the sunny side, and I've never delved into the occult, and I thought I was immune from the stuff because I just figured if anything evil came around me, I'd say, hey, get thee behind me because I'm busy and I don't have any time for you. Let me tell you, if you think you're safe, you might not be safe.
You might not be.
Evil is extremely powerful.
You've never been back, I take it.
I was back briefly for a funeral. I did not stay in my cabin alone.
Don't blame you.
I wasn't alone that night. My teenage daughter was in the house. She woke up during this encounter.
We'll call it an attack. She woke up during the attack, and what?
It was a base unit, CB, and she picked it up and slammed it against the wall, and... Right then it was daylight, the sun had just come up, and everything disappeared. But I tell you what.
So the CB was the conduit for this awful thing.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh my God. What a story. You swear this is all true?
To swear is what? But I'm just saying that.
Well, to
that
swear is
I'm a truthful person. And deception is not in my being, and I will always tell the truth.
God,
and
that's a scary story.
I'm afraid to even go back to my own. I'm a retired disabled lady. Basically, I finally managed after all hard working years to be able to build a little cabin out in the woods.
Right.
And you know what? It's been 3 years, and I'm terrified because I know that those CBs, they only go for a few miles. So I know that whatever that was and whoever it was...
Had to be close.
Yeah.
Number two, it knew you didn't have your eyes closed, so it had to be real close.
Oh, yeah.
And this thing, you were attacked all the night long then, basically the remainder of the night until dawn?
It was hours, Art. And let me tell you, the absolute sickest, awfulest part, this entity, or, you know, when you had some callers talking about werewolves.
Yes.
Well, this thing claimed to be a werewolf vampire combo pack, and I never imagine there was such a thing until after that happened to me. I started doing a lot of research online, and I found out, oh, yes, indeed, there is a combo werewolf / vampire.
Well, I never want to meet anything like that. Listen, I'd love to go on with this, but we are woefully out of time.
I'm so glad I could tell my story, Art, because it has just been, like,
terrifying. Oh, I'm glad, too. All right, you have a good morning. Thank you.
Thanks.
And be well. From the high desert. That one'll definitely do it. Ta-ta.